Chapter 5, Parenting. In this chapter, I talk about building confidence in kids and colleagues, why I don't care if you're rich or poor, and why parents shouldn't be afraid of social media. Parenting, like family businesses, is an intensely personal topic. How we parent depends so much on things that are unique to us, from our financial situation, to our partners, to our family dynamics. So I'm petrified to give parenting advice, and yet I can't shy away from it because I feel so strongly that the way we are parented affects everything we do in life, including what kind of entrepreneur we might become. I often say that I was perfectly parented. Side note, that is an absolute title to one of my upcoming books. I know some of you have heard that. I'm working on it. I truly believe that the way I was raised has everything to do with how I achieved my success. I know how it feels to be the kid who marches to his own drum. I'm incredibly fortunate that I was born to parents who not only let me do that, but also encouraged me to do more of it. I observed how they instilled in me qualities that make me the man as well as the businessman I am today, and I'm passionate about their execution and would love to see it replicated everywhere. I feel like I have something valuable to say to anyone raising a potential entrepreneur or interested in helping shape and guide the next generation of industry leaders. You should only take the advice of entrepreneurs or business people who have actually built businesses, not people who have just talked about it. So the best people to turn to for parenting advice are probably people who have seen a few more cycles than I have with grown kids. However, I work with a lot of young people who tell me their stories, and I know the pressures and concerns they and their parents have had as they started their entrepreneurial journeys. I've spoken to a lot of parents about what I do and the world I do it in. I have perspectives that could ease a lot of people's concerns about what the future holds for our kids. I realize it's just one man's point of view, but from where I'm sitting, it's looking good.
Hey guys, this is Andy Dunn. I'm so excited to be asking the next batch of questions for the Ask Gary Vee book. As Gary's friend from Bonobos and his future life coach, I hope I do a good job with the reading. What's the number one lesson you've learned since becoming a father?
Andy, real quick, before I get into this, nobody's gonna ever be my life coach. Just wanted to make sure that was established. You know, it's funny, I feel like I was practicing to be a father my whole life. You know, when you're born in another country and you immigrant to this amazing place called America with so much opportunity, you really have a great perspective as an immigrant because often one of your parents or both of your parents are working so hard. And so with my dad away so much in the first 10 years that we were in America, I spent an enormous amount of time with my mom and with my younger sister, Liz, who's 3.5 years younger. And then AJ was born and he's 11 years younger than me. I was always very much a leader. I was always kind of the guy that looked out for everybody else. I have a lot of EQ, emotional intelligence, so it made me very kind of motherly in my fatherly kind of journey. And so by having a brother who was 7 when I was 18 and already a businessman and things of that nature, I always kind of looked at AJ as my half brother, half child. And so by the time Misha was born, I was really there. And so the only thing it really taught me was when you have that kind of love for this thing, this creature, this person that comes into the world that's your own, it just reminds me how scared, honestly, that's really what it is. It reminds me how scared I am to have anything happen to somebody that I love. And the truth is, I'm very close to my parents, given that our journey from the old country, given that they're only 20 years older than me, I probably am the minority of somebody who can easily say right now that there's not a big distance between the way I love my parents and I love my kids. I guess having kids just reminded me of the fear of losing the loved ones around me. Really, that's the only thing that it taught me, which is to live my life in a way that reminds me that that's what I care about most, not buying the jets, not being on the cover of Fast Company, not having the accolades from all of you. It's spending time with those characters.
How exactly did your mother instill that self-confidence in you?
Propaganda. And maybe it's because my mom's from the Soviet Union that she was so good at it, but this is the damn truth. I'm gonna tell you guys something right now that is so insane. At 16, now you're a big boy at 16, at 16 years old, And I was, oh, I don't know, you know, 5'4". At 16 years old, at 5'4" in a high school, I would walk around the halls of my high school literally thinking I was the best looking. And by the way, I didn't have the hottest girlfriends or any. I was the best looking, I was the smartest, and this is just how I lived life. My mom said it to me so many goddamn times that eventually I just believed it. And what she also did, which was super smart, was she exaggerated my accomplishments of selling stuff and being a good brother and a good kid and not smoking and drinking. Like, she exaggerated those things. And the things I was doing poorly, school and other things, she made me understand that that wasn't okay. She kept me respectful to it so I wasn't dissing my teachers, but she didn't dwell on it. I have so many friends right now where I see parents dwelling on the insecurities and shortcomings of their children, and it makes my heart cry. Please, you can decide what you want to focus on. My mother decided to focus on all the good things I did in the world instead of the bad.
Shark Tank's Barbara Corcoran doesn't invest in, quote, rich kids, end quote, businesses. How do you feel about entrepreneurs from privilege?
For a long time, I was with Barbara on this one. I really was. You only go by your experiences. Plus, I was rooting for myself, right? I wasn't a rich kid, so it was a fun narrative to be like, see, I stuck it to all of you that went to Harvard, right? It was a fun narrative, but the truth is, I can't be emotional about this. And what I've learned in the last 7 to 10 years is there's a lot of entrepreneurs that I can think of that grew up quite wealthy and quite privileged and are as hungry and as on fire as many others that came up with nothing. Now, do I think by percentage, people that grow up with nothing that have entrepreneur DNA have that extra fight and grip? I do. I think there's a, you know, they're just trying to establish that base that a rich kid already had. And so they're valuing different things. I even think at times that some of the luxuries that I now have taken some of the fire out of my belly, though I'm really trying to work against that. And so I would say that I'm very comfortable investing in rich kids and have seen plenty of poor kids not have the makeup to be a successful entrepreneur. And so I don't agree anymore, but I would be lying if I didn't say that that's a recent phenomenon for me, only as of the last 3 to 5 years.
I'm curious to know your thoughts on tech consumption by young children.
I know I'm in the minority of this, and this is going to be one of the few places where I think people are going to rewind and listen to this again, because I know I'm in a very small minority of this. I think it's good, and I think kids should spend more time on technology. I think the kids of America and the world should spend more time in front of screens. And I know every single parent that I know right now vehemently disagrees with me. They're trying to pull away the iPad at every moment. They're sad that they're on the phone. Yet, by the way, as a side note, anytime they need their kids to shut up, they throw those iPads at them like it's the cure to all the problems in the world. Anyway, I think it would be a grave mistake to not prepare your kids for the future world. If you truly believe that screens are going away, or that technology is miraculously for the first time ever going to stop, and we're going to go back to the written word or drawing in caves, or that life is going to be more simple, you're out of your mind. And so, just like I wasn't supposed to play with video games as a kid because it was going to ruin me, or just like you weren't supposed to watch TV for 7 hours a day because you were going to be a blob, you can say anything you want, but the world is going in one direction. And I think holding back your child from the skills that are going to be their day in and day out life needs to be thought about a little bit more than we're doing now. This is evolution, my friends. Every time this happens, the outcome is very similar, which is parents think one thing because I have a news alert. Let me help you with this. Psst. That's right. You're old. You're telling the same story your dad did about walking to school in 10 feet of snow. Let me remind a lot of you millennial parents. Your ass watched 7 hours of Cosby Show. So what's the difference? And let me help you. Nothing.
In the future, how are you going to treat social media with your children?
Well, first and foremost, this is not a dictatorship, unfortunately, like my businesses. I've got a real equal partner. And I'd have to even say, given the fact that she has more context on the kids by spending more time, I almost have to defer, which really... Anyway, here's a couple things. One thing that I take a lot of flack from all of you, at least the ones that are listening to this that have followed me for a long time, is work-life balance, right? Am I spending enough time with my family? What you may know is that I don't put out a lot of content around my family, right? That's the problem. If you go and try to find pictures of my kids on social media, you can't. And so because Lizzie and I decided that it's up to them on how much they want to expose themselves, you get a false picture of how much time I spend with them because I'm not storytelling to you about them. So I'm going to handle it the way we've been handling it so far, which is we're going to let them make some decisions. We're going to be vigilant. We're not confused. But I am not a headline reader. Let me explain. Just because one child has a bad experience in Phoenix on the new Instagram 7 years from now doesn't mean I'm going to allow the headline to stop me from allowing my kids to do. I'm going to look at the data, which is things like since social networks and phones that are smart and can record have been out and about in our society, kidnapping is down because it's harder to kidnap because we're all media companies walking around with recorders at all times at our fingertips. So I'm not going to do anything other than the following. I'm going to instill self-esteem and confidence and kindness and practicality and common sense to the best of my ability into my children. I'm going to allow them to navigate. I'm going to watch, right? But I'm not going to suffocate.
I'm speaking to parents at a public school event on parenting in a social media world. What would you teach them?
I would teach them to become practitioners and not headline readers. For example, every one of them right now is scared of Snapchat because they've read in headlines that kids sext and all this, that, and the other thing. Let me just give you a news alert, my friends. If your kid has a smartphone, that means he or she has access to the internet. It is a lot more likely that they're going to porn sites by typing it in, and it's so easy to do, versus the random once in a million that somebody's going to get an indecent picture through Snapchat. It's a lack of understanding, and stop being scared. Listen, this is not being educated. Being scared of Snapchat while they have access to every porn site in the world is not understanding what is really going on. So get educated. Take some emotion out of the equation, which is not easy with children, and just remind yourself, Dad, you were the same guy that plotted for weeks with your friends on how to steal a Playboy from Krausers just a decade or two ago, right? And so just 2 decades ago. So, you know, at the end of the day, we need to take a step back, take a deep breath, and understand that at one point in time, Elvis Presley shaking his hips made parents not allow kids to listen to Elvis songs. Think about it. And also, real quick, even though I loved having the Elvis punchline end that, remember, social media can be your friend. I mean, I was able to hide from my parents left and right, but right now, I know so many of my parent friends that know exactly what's going on their kids because they're following them on Snapchat and Instagram, and kids are, you know what, let's call it what it is, kids are dumb sometimes. Like, hey mom, I'm going to Sally's, and then they put up an Instagram photo at Karen's. I mean, it's just a joke. But anyway, nonetheless, if you don't look at it as a negative and actually realize it could help you if you want to know what you know, which, let's call it what it is, for a lot of you micromanagement parents, you want to know everything. And guess what? Social media is probably your best asset.